For WKNO News, I'm Christopher Blank. If you are running for public office, it's quite likely you will be asked to participate in a debate, and maybe even more than one. If you're running for U.S. Senate in a highly watched election, choosing not to debate raises much speculation. And that's where our conversation this week with political analyst Otis Sanford takes off. Otis, you've been tweeting.
I have been tweeting.
So to set up this conversation, immediately after the primaries earlier this month, Democrat Phil Bredesen and Republican Marsha Blackburn were invited to take part in four different debates in different parts of the state. This week, Blackburn announced that she would not be debating in Memphis. She has confirmed two other debates in Knoxville and Lebanon. Otis, this week you tweeted, "Voters should be outraged." Explain why.
Well, I mean, debating, especially for an open seat, is, I believe, very crucial for the voters, the electorate, to size up the candidates. Also, Tennessee is a very distinct state. We have three grand divisions. And Memphis always seems to get left out of a lot of things. Marsha Blackburn rejecting the offer to come to Rose College on September 13th and debate, where a lot of the questions probably would focus on Memphis and West Tennessee. For her to reject that does a total disservice to local voters, and they should be outraged.
Also, on the surface, this looks like a rejection of a major African American constituency in the state of Tennessee.
There's no question about it, and I don't think that it's a stretch to say that she has written off the African-American vote. I don't think there's any doubt about that. You probably won't ever see her campaigning in really even in the heart of Nashville. And I know you won't see her campaigning in the heart of Memphis.
Now, Phil Bredesen, the former governor, said he would still come to Memphis on September 13th, and he would host a town hall here. How does he rate with you on his knowledge of urban issues, such as jobs and poverty and healthcare and race and all that?
Well, I think he raced very well. Phil Bredesen has been around politics for a long time now. So he knows statewide politics. He knows Memphis. He has great advisors in Memphis, a lot of strong supporters in the African-American community in Memphis. He has absolutely no trouble articulating the issues here, whereas I don't think Marsha Blackburn knows that much about what's really going on in the core city of Memphis.
We learned this week that Blackburn is going to be getting some help from the Koch brothers. Their political group, Americans for Prosperity, is putting $2 million into anti-Bredesen ads.
Mm-hmm.
What does this say to you?
Well, I mean, in matter of fact, I heard one of the ads Wednesday night. I just don't think that the Koch brothers being involved in this is going to move the needle all that much. This race is going to boil down to who the voters believe represents the collective interests of Tennessee best. Tennesseans don't like extremes either way. And I still have yet to hear Marsha Blackburn come back closer to the center. Anything is possible here, and this is a toss-up race if there ever was one.
All right, looking a little bit more locally, the new Shelby County Mayor Lee Harris is moving into office. What's your outlook for this administration? How is he doing so far?
So far, he's made some really good moves here. I think his appointment earlier this week of Patrice Williamson-Thomas to be his chief administrative officer, which is really the top position in his administration. As far as I can tell, and I believe I'm right, she's the first African-American female to ever hold that position. And I think it is sending a strong message that we're going to do things differently here. And I just think that I see him reaching out to the entire community to try to start off his tenure with inclusiveness and an understanding of what needs to be done. Plus, I have to give him credit for resigning his state Senate seat.
Right. This has been very important to you, resignations.
Yes, it has, because it's in stark contrast to what three Memphis City Council members have so far yet to do by giving up their city council seats, even though they are now serving, got sworn in on Thursday to county offices, one on the county commission and one in the probate court clerk, and Janice Fuller-Love over in juvenile court. But they are still not giving up their city council seats. If they don't give it up in time, the voters can't decide their replacements at the November election. That means that 10 members of the city council will pick their replacements instead of the voters. It is a total shameful act.
Why aren't they resigning? What is the motivation behind staying in office?
Well, the last thing I heard, Morrison not saying anything. He's just hiding from Manasseh. Janice Fully Love has just been waffling all over the place and just can't make up her mind, apparently. The only one who has been definitive has been Edmund Ford Jr., and he came up with a lame excuse by saying that his constituents don't want him to leave. Well, if that was the case, if his constituents didn't want him to leave, then he should never have run for another office and stay in as long as he needed to stay. What's going on here, Chris, is that all three of these folks are term limited at city council. And so that's why they are rushing out the door, and the only thing they could do is run for an office this year, and now they're trying to have it both ways. I just think it is an absolute disservice to the voters.
Well, we'll keep an eye on them and see.
I couldn't be more strongly about this.
I can tell. Political analyst Otis Sanford joins us each week to talk about politics. Thank you once again.
Thank you, Chris.
This is WKNO News.